One, two, is this on?
Please, ban the basketball housewives.
Sad to see Dog the Bounty Hunter coming to an end.
Who the fuck? What the fuck? Why?
My comic book nerd brain cannot accept it.
That's the dumbest fucking premise for a show I've ever heard in my life.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Episode of the Click Nation podcast, aka Comic Book Chronicles. It's going to be a special episode tonight. I'm joined by my brother, the Adam Black.
Hey, what's up, true believers?
Mr. Banff can't be with us tonight. He's busy watching the presidential debates. And Brandy from BLR Productions won't be giving us any reality check either. She's swamped with work. So with New York Comic Con taking place this past weekend, I thought it would be a good idea to basically just do a Comic Book Chronicles dealing with everything that happened at New York Comic Con. And besides myself and the Adam Black, you will also hear some other voices on tonight's show, but we'll save those for surprise when you get to that part of the show.
Yes.
And we are recording tonight on Tuesday, October 16th, 2012. Let me go ahead and do some plug-in for our various websites and social networking accounts. Our website is theclicknation.com. We also have a Twitter account at theclicknation. Make sure to like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Subscribe to our YouTube account, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Find us on Google Plus, search for TheClickNation. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you ever want to send us some feedback to be read on a show, you can send that feedback to TheClickNation@gmail.com. Check out our podcast and many other comic book podcasts at comicrelated.com. And I want to send a shout-out to PC and Dirt at the Pop Culture Network. Their website is popculturenetwork.com. I've recently hooked up with them, and PC and Dirt specifically has been sending me some advanced copies of comic books, so I've started doing reviews. And you can go to our website, theclicknation.com, and popculturenetwork.com to read the reviews. So, no reality check. I guess we can even skip news tonight.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. Let's go straight to New York Comic Con. And let me bring that up real quick. All right, so I guess New York Comic Con is one of the more larger comic book related conventions that takes place every year besides San Diego Comic-Con.
And Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. What is the one in Chicago called?
I think it's Wizard World Chicago now.
Oh, okay. But a lot of different news came out. I've mostly paid attention to the Marvel news because I'm a Marvel guy.
Mm-hmm.
Make mine Marvel. But let's see, the first bit of news, I guess I'll start things off with Superior Spider-Man. I was going to say, do you want to say, what are your thoughts on Superior Spider-Man?
I mean, it's just one of those things. They tease you with something and, you know, they give you a few hints, like on the fact that it's not going to be Peter Parker. That we know for sure. And pretty much we don't know anything else. The suit is slightly different. It still looks pretty much the same to me. And that's it. That's all we really know.
Yeah, new outfit, but I didn't tell a difference.
Yeah. I mean, the spider on the back is a little different. That's it.
Is it still blue?
The spider on the back is red.
I mean, the outfit, red and blue.
It's kind of dark. It's a darker color, I think. It may be a real dark blue, but I guess the picture I saw was just him in the shadows climbing up that wall.
They released some white and black images.
Mm-hmm.
There's the image to issue 2 or 3 where he's making out with Mary Jane on the cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that.
But I don't know. I found it weird that they were, you know, everything about issue 700 is going to be a secret. We don't want to spoil anything. And then at Comic-Con, go and, hey, it's not Peter Parker.
Which is the major secret.
Yeah. I guess maybe the ride again there to figuring out, you know, how did this come about is maybe
the fun part.
Part of it, or what they feel is more important. But I see I got a couple links here. Let me open these. Let's see. So, yes, and of course, Superior Spider-Man is going to be helmed by writer Dan Slott with two artists, Ryan Thigman and the other dude's name, I do not know. It's a funny sounding name. It's like his first name starts with a G and last name starts with a C. I guess he is one of the guys, the other guy that's been drawing Spider-Man along with Roberto Ramos is also going to be involved in Superior Spider-Man. So they're both going to be all three of the gentlemen again, I guess, take turns.
Yeah, I mean, usually what it is that each story arc is drawn by a certain artist. And they, you know, when once that storyline ends, they'll go to the next one. And if it's a big story arc like Ends of the Earth, they'll just split it.
Yeah, I'm doing some Googling now because be bad if I didn't get this guy's name right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ryan Stedman is the artist of the first 3 issues, and an amazing illustrator, Humberto Ramos and Giuseppe Camuncoli will rotate in on subsequent story arcs.
Right.
So, and actually, Giuseppe Camuncoli is one, like I said, one of the other artists. I think he did the Morbius storyline. I think he was the artist on that one. At least I hope. Because since I had never heard of the guy before, I Googled his name and went to the images part of Google.
Mm-hmm.
And like his art is pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this looks kind of familiar, and it looked kind of similar to some of the Morbius images I saw.
Yeah.
So there's that. And let's see, try this other article from Superior Spider-Man. Spider-Man Now panel. Okay. Yeah, they also, at these Comic Cons now, they take, like, different departments from the companies, and they have, like, all the creative teams together, and they hold panels where they, release information and take questions from the audience.
Right.
Like an X-Men panel, a Justice League panel. And so here's some information from the Spider-Man panel.
Mm-hmm.
On feed. Let's see. The creative teams they had from this were for Superior Spider-Man, Scarlet Spider, Avenging Spider-Man and Venom, I believe.
You said Scarlet Spider too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There's going to be a backup story in issue 700 that's going to be gut-wrenching, according to Jay Matias. Penciled by Giuseppe Camuncoli. And then the issue of Avengers Spider-Man, I think it's like a point-something issue, is going to lead into Avengers Spider-Man. And like we already said, they go ahead and reveal that it's an all-new Spider-Man. It ain't Peter Parker. And Dan Slott said, if you look at the that it's not Peter Parker, and because at Marvel, we like stories that end whacker jokes. Years and enough, already. There's been speculation that it could be the 2099 Spider-Man.
Miguel O'Hara.
Yes.
That would be different. And it's someone that the fans I know would really like to see.
And about thinking Ben Reilly from Clone Saga of Infamy.
I mean, you know, I just don't think Marvel will do that. I mean, the way they view the Clone Saga, it's like, I mean, it took them years to even acknowledge and address it again. So if they do that, I'd be really surprised.
Yeah. As Slott says, Spirit of Spider-Man would be dark and weird. That means.
Yeah.
I see more from Slott. You guys want Spider-Man and Mary Jane back together? They're back together, and he's not Peter Parker.
Right. So we need to figure out what that means.
You know what? I forgot Morbius was having an ongoing series.
Yeah.
They talked to Joe Keating from the series. And it's funny, every time someone gets a number one issue, and the writer or artist, they always interview them, get their thoughts on the book, and they always say, he's one of my favorite Marvel guys, period.
Mm-hmm. About the character.
The character. I grew up with this guy. Like, sure you did. I grew up with Morbius too, but he wasn't necessarily one of my, you know, must see villains in the Spider-Man hierarchy. Definitely wasn't appearing for the good. But I'm sure he'll get canceled.
He had one back in the 90s. For some reason, they decided to put him in that Midnight Suns book or line of books.
Hmm.
And, you know, they tried to make him more of a horror character.
Yeah, I can see what they're trying to go with. The whole, just how when X-Men number one, X-Men relaunched and
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a larger part of the Marvel Universe. They had them team with Blade and taking on Dracula and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's it. Spider-Man news.
Mm-hmm.
They announced that Jim Lee and Scott Snyder will be teaming up for a Superman title, out more than likely around the same time as Man of Steel.
Mm, at least we know that what Jim Lee's next project is.
Yeah, it was announced, I want to say last month, that he was going to be leaving Justice League as penciler.
Right.
Speculating what's his next big project going to be.
Yeah. I kind of figured that it would be more probably part of this Trinity War thing that they've got cooking, but I was surprised that it was going to be a Superman title, let alone a third ongoing title, which will be pretty interesting. Scott Snyder, he's a good artist, or he's a good writer. Yeah.
He writes Batman, right?
Right, Batman.
Is that the only book he's writing right now?
He also is writing, I believe, Swamp Thing, and I think a Vertigo title.
Okay. But yeah, he's gotten rave reviews for his work on Batman and cooking up the whole Court of Owls storyline. Now they're doing the death. What's Joker's story called?
Death of the Family.
And let's see. Supposedly there's no title and date for the new Superman title, but more than likely, I'm sure it'll incorporate the kind of feel in it.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, there. I mean, it, that's the right thing to do, strike when the iron's hot, and introducing a new title with Jim Lee on the book as doing the art is perfect.
Yeah. But that'll be interesting. Superman's never been one of my favorite characters. I've never actually collected a Superman title.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out just to see what all the fuss is about.
Right. I'll definitely pick it up. You know, Jim Lee's one of my favorite artists, so I'll definitely keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for good art in a book.
Yep.
Like the Hawkeye series. Ray about Matt Fraction and David Aja. Hopefully that's how you say his name on art. But I don't know, I just can't get into it.
I mean, you know, his style is definitely something that, you know, is not flashy, you know, and I think, you know, I've seen it, I like it, and it's definitely something people probably need to check out, that Hawkeye series.
Yeah, issue 3 comes out tomorrow. I'll probably get it just to, I guess, keep it going since I already had the first two.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's go to some Secret Avengers news next.
Yeah, that was the weirder announcements at the Comic-Con.
Yeah, that was and it's funny because I assumed that all the Marvel Now new books were already announced, you know, months ago, even with all the teeth slowly leaked out, but I figured they were done. But nope, they saved some more for Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Secret Avengers is going to relaunch with the new number one, a new team, and a whole new purpose. And the purpose is basically it's going to be a S.H.I.E.L.D.-centric book. The team will be working with S.H.I.E.L.D., and they won't even be aware that they're working on a team together. Sounds kind of complicated, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But the premise is that S.H.I.E.L.D. is tired of Avengers running around, and they have no control over them.
Mm-hmm.
They gave the example of how that every day it seems like there's an Avenger that goes rogue. So they're like, how can we control these people? So you decide to assemble their own team of operatives that have military background, and they implant them with some type of something that they can control them with and activate them. And then once the mission is over, they mind wipe them just like MIB style. And they have no recollection of
what happened.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. I'm not sure. I thought the fact that, you know, they had a team that was, you know, doing, you know, black ops missions or doing, you know, top secret missions that no one wants to be involved with was enough. But because of this, S.H.I.E.L.D. feels they have to control them and go into a whole bunch of other stuff. And, you know, I'm just kind of clueless still why they're going this route with it.
And I'm looking at this article from most of these links will be from Newsarama.
Right.
Say they'll get called up for missions via words implanted years ago and dispersed after. So what you're trying to tell me is these people have had the scope in their brains all these years and S.H.I.E.L.D. just now decides to use them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
S.H.I.E.L.D. has decided they want their own Avengers team. For Avengers, like this canon, they're independent operatives, independent operators. They don't have security clearance. They have a history of becoming bad guys. That memory keyword won't just activate the team. It'll also remind them of the mission they just completed after each one. And if comic book fans know one thing, it's that mind wipes can be undone and never turn out well.
Yeah. Basically, there's going to be a story arc somewhere along the line where all of a sudden these images are going to start flashing in their heads, and they're going to be, or one of them is going to be really pissed off.
They start having nightmares.
I didn't mean to kill that person. Oh, don't eat me.
So, let's see, the lineup is going to include Black Nick Fury, a.k.a. Nick Fury Jr., Agent Coulson, both characters who were just recently introduced into the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Let's see, it's going to have Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
Hawkeye's ex-wife, Bobby Morse, a.k.a. Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
Villain Taskmaster Hulk, the Green Hulk, and Iron Patriot. And it will also, the Winter Soldier will also be involved in the book, but he will not be an actual member of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, reoccurring guest character. And supposedly the rumor is the Iron Patriot will be James Rhodey. Because in Iron Man 3, speculation is he's the one that's wearing the Iron Patriot armor.
Okay.
That's where they're getting that from. And let's see if there's anything else about Secret Avengers. Oh, it's also going to involve Maria Hill and supposedly Daisy Johnson.
Who is Daisy Johnson?
Who's that chick that has the... The chick that just joined Avengers before all the Avengers versus X-Men stuff popped off.
Mm-hmm.
Chick with the, like, the tremor powers.
I haven't been reading those up until that point, up until new event, until A versus X.
A member of Secret Warriors.
Oh, okay.
She also appeared, she's also been in the Earth's Mightiest Heroes during the Secret Invasion storyline.
Oh, okay.
People working with Fury. Yeah. So I'll collect Secret Avengers just to check it out. The premise I'm not thrilled about it right away, but hopefully they'll do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, the creative team on it is, go back up, Nick Spencer and Luke Ross. And I'm going to say Nick Spencer is the writer and Luke Ross is the
pencil. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Art doesn't look too great to me, but
yeah, looks all right. You know, well, the one picture, I don't know if is that them drawing that cover or is that someone else?
I think that's them.
Hmm.
I mean, it's got the new event logo up there. It's, I guess over the shield emblem and secret went over it. That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has their names in the corner. Nick Spencer, Luke Ross, Matthew Wilson, probably is the inker, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if that's the art for the cover, because it could be.
I'd assume so. Let's see. And the final bit of news is the Cosmic Variety, and that's the Guardians of the Galaxy and Nova will both be getting ongoing series going into the Marvel Now.
Right.
Guardians of the Galaxy, of course, will be in two movies for Marvel going forward. And Brian Michael Bendis will be the writer on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's name, bring it up. The artist will be, does it tell me? McNiven. And of course, Guardians of the Galaxy were being used in Brian Bendis's Avengers Assemble series. And that storyline with Thanos finishes with 8. And I guess the big surprise for Guardians of the Galaxy is that Iron Man will be joining the team.
Yes. Not real sure what the hell that is about, but...
That's what they tease Avengers Assemble.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly it's the whole, you know, he's sort of an explorer and he loves science and he getting to go into space. He can experience all this new technology and new worlds and help his brain grow.
Mm-hmm. That's the premise.
That for Nova, unfortunately, it's not Richard Rider as Nova. It's the crappy Sam Alexander from the Marvel Universe block on Disney from Spider-Man. And it's going to be written by head of TV, Jeff Loeb.
Of course, which is why he's so jazzed about it.
Art Ed McGuinness.
Yeah.
He's enjoyed his art more in the past than in the present, but it should be all right.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, my issue with this, why couldn't they have done this with Richard Rider as Nova? And then they'll say, well, you know, all the responses or all the comments I read was, well, this is new beginning, this is a new beginning, this is a new beginning. And, you know, of course, Jeff Loeb wouldn't, you know, just do a Richard Rider series. No, he has to make it his own character. And, you know, everyone pretty much wants Richard Rider and not Sam Alexander, because Sam Alexander reminds us of that crappy Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon where Sam Alexander apparently just got the Nova helmet and got the powers.
And he's a teenager. I get a lot of the Peter Parker vibe from this.
Mm-hmm. You know,
let's have a teenager be Nova so we can show, you know, how this teenage boy deals with this great power.
Mm-hmm.
The reader can grow with him.
Yeah. Of course, you know, that's the whole appeal. That was the original appeal for Nova back in the 70s, was that he was that generation's Spider-Man.
Yes. But we're both fans of Nova from New Warriors, of course.
Yeah. So we're kind of biased.
And, well, the character, yeah. Nova, we care about Sam Alexander.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah. That's some of the big news out of Comic-Con. Was there anything else New York Comic Con related that stuck out in your mind, or do you think we touched on it all?
Well, as far as the Marvel stuff, I mean, you know, we're still, you know, I mean, the Amazing Spider-Man was pretty much the main thing that everyone brought up. One other thing was that they did announce make an announcement about the S.H.I.E.L.D. series where,
yeah.
They said Clark Gregg was going to actually reprise his role as Agent Coulson, which, of course, brings up all types of debate about, okay, did he die in the Avengers after all, or, you know.
What the hell happened?
Yeah. What is the deal?
What is the deal? So, yeah. I'm going through, a lot of DC stuff that we talked about, but I mean, a lot of it's Justice League related stuff and
Trinity War.
Trinity War.
Mm-hmm. Still don't know much about it.
I mean, it doesn't take place till late next year anyway.
Right.
It's like the Marvel Now stuff. Like, I've been excited about it, but since I understand it's a good idea to stagger the releases, like have stuff every month going all the way through February, but that's a long time to wait for some books. Like the Guardians of the Galaxy and Nova, I don't think they start till February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're referencing stuff that's actually coming up soon, but, you know.
So it's just a waiting game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited for the Justice League of America book.
Yeah, and you have Baz as the new Green Lantern.
Right. You know, and pretty much the Third Army stuff is, you know, just starting now. So, you know, it's going to ramp up real quick on that. I've heard a couple reviews about, you know, people not digging Baz as a Green Lantern, but, you know, hey, it's a new character. That's the whole point. And we know that eventually Hal Jordan's going to be back, so I don't think people need to freak out about it anyway.
Yeah, don't lose your shit.
Yeah, it's comics, people.
Yeah, and we already know that him and Sinestro are alive, so nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess as far as this part of the comic book chronicles dealing with Comic-Con, this did actually happen during the weekend of Comic-Con, so, and it is semi-comic book related.
Mm-hmm.
It's rant time.
Ramp it up.
Yes. So, I was not at home Saturday at morning to watch the DC Nation on Cartoon Network. Thankfully, my TiVo already had season passes for both Green Lantern, the animated series, and Young Justice.
My DVR does, too.
Yes. But even before I got home Sunday to see, sit down and watch the recording, I had trusty Twitter followers alerting me that DC Nation was not on TV, but Cartoon Network was showing the How to Train Your Dragon animated series instead of our trusty Green Lantern and Young Justice.
Highly pissed.
Yes.
I wondered what was going on. What was the deal?
There was speculation that the shows were being held back until October, or to the end of October. And then, like, around 4 o'clock Eastern time, which is many hours after the both shows were supposed to air, DC Nation tweeted out something to the lines of, hey, guess what? Your favorite shows, Green Lantern and Young Justice, will be back in January with all new episodes. And they had the gall to tweet this like it was good news.
Yeah.
You know, this is what you've been waiting for.
Like, you know, that was an announcement that they should have made while the shows were showing reruns, 3 weeks ago?
Yes, they keep jerking around, especially Young Justice. Ever since it started its first season, they jerked around these episodes.
Yeah, it's the slowest series I've ever seen.
They'll show 4 episodes, and then they'll go on hiatus for 3 months, 4 months, come back. It's like they don't like the show or something.
Yeah, it's just weird. And they take it from, Friday nights to Saturday mornings, but that's probably the better move to put on Saturday morning. More kids are going to watch it, if kids are actually watching cartoons nowadays, but still.
Start on Friday nights to move to Saturday morning. Saturday morning makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the fact that they did it afterwards – you know, I mean, like you said, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they decide to put that tweet out after everyone's probably just complaining about Young Justice and everything. They then decide to, you know, put that out there, especially after the fact that the solicitations were already into the cable network. So that's kind of crazy.
Oh yeah, something else that is stupid. So they just started their fall season.
Mm-hmm.
Both Green Lantern and Young Justice have shown 2 episodes apiece, and then they decided to pull it.
Right.
It's like they just started. Why even show these 2 episodes?
There's got to be some motive.
If you're just going to pull it for 3 months.
Right.
So, yeah, there's lots of speculation going on online about what's going on. Let's see. Despite being a mere 3 weeks into the schedule of new episodes in both series ending their second episodes on cliffhangers, the erratic presentation of DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Animation superhero-themed television programs by Cartoon Network continued Saturday, October 13th. So, yes, I just talked about that. Oh, yeah, here's the actual tweet. hey, hashtag DC Nation fans, have you heard? ! DC Nation will return in January with all new episodes! ! The tweet did not well with fans or the creators involved in those. Angry, curse-filled tweets filled at Cartoon Network's reply box quickly. Don't look below that linked tweet if you don't want to see several F-bombs. It's actually one of my followers. He actually sent, he filled all 140 characters with fuck you over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Shout-outs to Saint Walker. He has a number on his, at the end of his name, but I can't think of it right now. I won't say.
Hopefully it's not 316, but especially with all those tweets.
Yeah, but it says the more interesting responses came from those actually involved in the production of the shows. Brandon Vietti, producer, writer, and director for Warner Animation on Young Justice, started with simply, I hate waking up to bad news. Wow. Giancarlo Volpe, producer on Green Lantern, tried to joke about it the right way, saying, so allegedly there will be no new DC Nation until January. Did anyone remind Cartoon Network that the end of the world is coming in December? The Tumblr, his official response, showing a video of Al Pacino screaming, it was not what I wanted. Sir also directly addressed CNN Cartoon Network's tweet saying, hey, hashtag DC Nation fans, have you heard? Is the new way to start ridiculous tweets.
Yeah. His Twitter is at SaintWalker191.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Shout outs to Saint Walker. He was a. And actually, shout outs to. Let me see if I can find these people, because I want to give them props for alerting me right away to what was going on Twitter Saturday morning. I know Music Man something was one of them. Give me 1 second. But let's see. To continue, Sam Liu, director of several episodes of Green Lantern, as well as multiple DC and Marvel animated films, was disappointed in the decision and gave fans their only hint as to why. Shows I'd have went crazy for as a kid now considered not popular to air. It's unclear who he is quoting in the tweet or whether that's any kind of official statement, however.
That it was unpopular to air?
That shows I'd have went crazy for as a kid now considered, quote-unquote, not popular enough to air. I think he's a C6 or something. Let's see. Followers. I know it was Music Man something and Shuby something. People with numbers in their names. Can't remember them. Actually, up in TweetDeck, it does the autocomplete nice for me.
Mm-hmm.
The Brian, our animator for Amethyst. Is that how you say it? Amethyst. Think that's like
Amethyst.
Amethyst. Yes, that's some other animated thing that DC is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I see Brian Drohard, animator for Amethyst, was a little more visceral in her reaction, prompting her followers saying, hey everyone, tweet at Cartoon Network. You are butts. All right, let's find out these lovely Twitter people's names. Music Man 128 and Shuby 2010 were the first to alert me to this Cartoon Network shenanigans.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, something must be up. Maybe that sounds like some more Hollywood bullshit.
They actually, the speculation is that, I guess some people were speculating that since Stephanie Brown is supposed to make an appearance, the show.
Who?
Stephanie Brown.
Spoiler?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That they wanted it pulled because they don't want, you know, her to be used in anything since in the new DC 52. But then the show also has Wally West and.
Right.
Are not involved in the new DC 52. Because, you know, DC's had this mandate of they don't want to talk about or even reference anything having to do with Wally West or Stephanie Brown or Cassandra Cain. So.
Hmm. Well, I mean, the show was started before the New 52 came around, so they just need to get over themselves.
If that's the reason.
Yeah. I mean, heck. I mean, jeez. I don't know. I mean, you got Tim Drake and he's Robin. Come on.
So make sure to annoy the Cartoon Network Twitter account at Cartoon Network. And there's a DC Nation fan page where you can go and let your outrage be heard.
Yeah, outrage, I tell you.
Yes, we have to let them know that we will not stand for this. Young Justice was the best animated cartoon on TV, even better than Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes. It was a cartoon for kids, but it had adult themes. That people died.
Mm-hmm.
We had this awesome storyline going on with Aqualad being
a traitor,
a double agent. You gotta see how it unfolds. But nope, gotta wait till next year. Only 3 more months to go. So yeah, Cartoon Network is now on the list with Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
Funny how TV people always make it on.
Yeah.
The most wanted list.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, can't be happy with what fans, have to say about a series. I mean, you have Earth's Mightiest Heroes is like possibly one of the best Marvel series that has come out as far as in an animated form pretty much ever. And, you know, it rivals the first X-Men or the X-Men series from Fox. And now then he cancels it because it's not his thing or it's not something he would have done. So from what I understand, he comes up with Avengers Assembled, which appears to be worse than possibly Ultimate Spider-Man. Am I right?
Yeah, because hopefully one of the voices you'll hear later on in the show was at Comic-Con, and he let me know that he saw, footage for Avengers Assemble and Hulk, Agents of Smash, and even classic material from Coastal Podcast, who you'll be hopefully hearing later on in the show. He saw some of Hulk's, Hulk Agents of Smash, and wasn't too impressed with it.
Well, I mean, we remember that article that was released online, a few months back. Well, it may have been a month ago. Basically referenced the fact that that Agents of Smash was developed for kids. You know, like Ultimate Spider-Man, it was developed, you know, for kids and not fans. So, of course, adults hate things that are directed at kids, and it's quite possible that kids don't like things that are directed at them either. So, I don't know. I mean, I didn't even like the animation for that little, what you call the little promo page for it looks dumb.
Of course, it's funny, we said the same thing when Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, when they released the intro theme to it.
Oh, yeah, everyone hated that intro. But
like, oh, I miss it, because they don't do the whole intro anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the whole intro.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then Avengers Assemble supposedly is going to take place, or is being made by the same people that do Ultimate Spider-Man. That sucks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm glad to see our comic book people characters on the television sets in animated form, but man, the good shows end up getting canceled for this kiddie crap.
Yeah. I'm hoping that, it's worth it because of the fact that it will build an audience for kids that may want to read comic books, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't see it working.
Same with Marvel now. Got to start with new number ones. It's easier to get new readers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, like the Comic Vine podcast, one of the hosts on there doesn't like issues being renumbered, but he understands why, of course, because it's hard to, you know, start for a new reader to pick up an issue 700 and not feel bogged down by all the everything that's come before it.
That's the biggest fucking cop-out I've ever heard. Like, all of a sudden, well, I better read these 699 issues to try and understand the story of Spider-Man.
I could see that actually some readers being like that, though. But then,
readers are dumb. I hate to sound like eclectic, but they're dumb. I mean, come on.
Other host is like, he was saying that readers will feel that way after 12 issues then.
Yeah.
Five. They're already 24 issues behind.
The only time I ever feel that may, that is important is when you, something like a Vertigo series or maybe something like Walking Dead where, you know, I think maybe Walking Dead's not the right answer, but something that is a finite story, like the series is finite. It's not going to last forever.
Finite?
Huh?
You said finite?
I said finite. I'm sorry. Yeah, finite. That's the right way to probably say it. But, yeah, I mean, it has a beginning and an end. I understand in that regard, but any, like, something like Spider-Man that you know, there are going to be Spider-Man comic books after this, and there are going to be Spider-Man comics before this, so you don't have to, I just feel that's just a cop-out that, you know, people say. I mean, if you just feel so bad that you need a freaking, like, Cliff Notes to try and understand, well, what happened in the first 699 issues, I don't know what to do with you.
Yeah, that's one of the podcasters on Comic Vine was that he made a good point. They should get rid of numbered issues for comics.
Yeah,
as volumes or something.
I mean, they're already doing that. I mean, you have the I think comic readers now are so accustomed to you know, having to wait for a trade paperback or collecting entire comic book series in volumes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I'd just say it's a cop-out. We know what it is. It's something to sell issues, and, you know, people are going to do it. But then the problem is, and this was brought up in an e-book that I was reading a few months back, but basically the author basically said that you're just repeating a cycle. You're going to release new issues with a brand new creative team. The creative team is just going to be so jazzed and juiced about it that that, you know, they are going to get off to a good start. But then something happens, a creative direction changes, and now you're going to bring in a new creative team. And then eventually, someone is going to keep on repeating until the fact that, guess what? It's a brand new start, and we're going to start all over with a brand new issue number one.
Yep.
After 4 or 5 years of that crap, you know, our readers going to stand for it.
That's the vicious cycle.
Yeah. So, I mean, even though you could say, yeah, it happened with Brand New Day and all that stuff, but Brand New Day has only been like 5 years ago, right? It hasn't been that long.
Yeah, I think about five years. It doesn't seem that long, but unfortunately it has. But, I mean, people bitched about it, but it seems to have been a good thing for Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fans are upset about it anyway. They're going to be upset, so.
Yeah, how many fans are?
Yeah, we hate change.
Hate it.
You know, especially comic book fans. Believe we're probably the most cynical bunch out there.
Yes, we're stuck in our ways.
Yeah. Like I said, if comic book fans will holler about change for for, you know, forever. Everything needs to change. They need to do something, and then when they change it, well, we didn't mean that, and, you know, and, oh,
God. They're changing that.
Yeah, now, you know, now we're starting over. It's rare that you have something that all comic book fans are just going universally like.
Exactly. I guess that's a good ending point, unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
I guess a quote, eclectic, DC keeps losing.
Yeah, DC stay losing. Stay losing. Because he's a big Marvel Avengers fan. He's sad, of course, to see Earth's Mightiest Heroes go as well. He thinks it's the best animated show out. I say it's Young Justice. But at least I think there's only four episodes left, and that's it for Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah, now I'm hoping they don't end on some BS cliffhanger, and then that'll be Jeff Loeb's final FU to to the comic book world.
I do remember hearing during San Diego Comic-Con Loeb saying that Earth's Mightiest Heroes transitions into Avengers Assemble, like the end of Earth's Mightiest Heroes transitions into Avengers Assemble. I do not believe that.
There's no way that can happen, considering that Luke Cage is an adult in Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
They haven't verified if Avengers
takes place
in the same universe as
Ultimate Spider-Man.
I believe it will, but they just haven't said yes or no to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a whole bunch of crap that it's going to transition into it. How could it transition? How could it transition cleanly into Avengers Assemble if Falcon has already been added or shown on Earth's Mightiest Heroes? He's been introduced, I'd say.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the rookie
Avenger
on Avengers Assemble. So, yeah. They can spew their lies all they want to. They can't fool me.
Mm-mm-mm.
But, follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. Mine is at TimDOGG98.
D_Adam_Black.
And we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to, well, at least myself and our guests will be discussing some more New York Comic Con right after this.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal, I'm the man. Ric Flair and Steamboat, you're gonna be mine. Woo!
I'm the genetic freak, and size does matter. But that's saving me, Gene. Coach Drew will run into me, or I will race him all of my freak tours on. They understand size, they appreciate size, and size does matter. And they know that they don't have to wait for the Earth to rotate on a 47-degree axis so the stars can touch the sky and create an equinox so they can see the Big Dipper. No, no, no. All they gotta do is call Big Papa, because I'm the man with the Big Dipper, and satisfaction's coming when I go behind and do the bump and grind. And it's only a matter of time before they call me the Big Bad Booty Daddy. So, Goldberg, realize this. I only care about two things in this world. My freaks and my peaks. And when I beat your bald ass down and fall down, and I'm about to put you in a sign of recliner, I'm going to whisper in your ear, size does matter, bitch.
We take what we want, and after we take that Kruger, and it's time we want the gold, sucker, Hulk Hogan.
Bye weep, grind I weep, ninny ball. Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of the Cold Slither Podcast. This is a special episode of the show, because we're going to go off the rails a little bit. And this is where we're going to recap the New York Comic Con. That's right, folks. This is all Comic Con talk all the time, the entire episode. And, of course, you know me. I'm your host, Classic. And right alongside me are my two co-hosts from the Eclectic Relaxation Podcast. Is
Close
Eclectic.
Enough. Yeah, what's going on, everybody? I'm in my Clexplay outfit right now, ready to hear a whole bunch of New York geeky nerd shit. Shouts to being a virgin at 30.
And correction, it is the Eclectic Discussion Podcast on eclecticrelaxation.com. Go vote for that on Stitcher for the Stitcher Awards.
Yeah, vote for me. Vote for change. You know,
I'm saying,
don't vote for the Malarkey Podcast. Vote for me.
Yeah, you know, Binder Full of Broads Podcast. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Binders of women. Speaking of binders of women, this guy doesn't keep binders. He keeps trapper keepers, file folders, and portfolios of females. He is Tim, D-O-double-G.
What, nigga, Tim, though?
First, I'd like to say I'm 32, not 30.
Oh,
and secondly...
What?
And secondly,
where did that come from?
That was Classic doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah.
I clearly just said something seconds ago. Continue, Mr. Dog.
It was a callback, sir. To something Eclectic just said. But secondly, fuck Cartoon Network.
Wow.
See you next year.
we'll talk about that later.
G.I. Joe Retaliation. That's what I'm talking about. Guys, we're joined by a returning guest to the show. Good personal.
Shout out to First Day with the New Tongue.
There you go. Good close personal friend of mine from way back in the day. You've heard him before. He is Dave Nappy, returning to the cults of the show.
What's up? What's up?
What's up, Dave? Well, you know, I'm glad to have you back on. We talked about this while we were at the Comic-Con. Wanted to do a sort of a recap show, talk about some of the things we saw, some of the things we didn't see, and how the event went, share with the fellas. And so I thank you for being gracious enough to come on to do that with us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
All right, cool. Well, here's how it's going to go down, really. You know, we're just going to talk about, you know, the event, some of the panels that we saw, you know, some of the interesting costumes we saw, some of the news that came out of the show, and, you know, just a few experiences that we had there. And you guys feel free to ask questions about anything or any of the freaky costumes. Don't ask for phone numbers or email addresses. We didn't get any. But
that's a useless thing.
Yeah. But if you're listening at home, if you're listening you know, at your computer, anyone out there in podcast land, feel free to pull up the Cults of the Podcast website. Check out the gallery, the slideshow from the photos of the Comic-Con. It's a great way to follow along with what went down. And plus, you could see me hanging out with Spider-Man and Casey Jones and a bitchin' picture of Aquaman.
I knew you'd love that one.
Yeah.
Aquaman.
But let's get started. This is the New York City Comic Book Convention, also known as New York Comic Con, the 49th in existence. So next year is actually going to be the 50th. But
Classic has been to each and every one.
I have. I've actually been to about, I'd say this would be my third Comic Con, maybe fourth. Actually fourth, because I went back in the day when it was at the New York Pennsylvania Hotel there, but this one is at the Jacob Javits Convention Center, which is the big convention center in New York City. And you know, one thing I didn't realize was that this New York Comic Con is the first of all the comic conventions. You know, you got the big one in San Diego and many Comic Cons all over the place, but this one is the first, and I would say the best, because this is where you're gonna get all the news, all the insights. Some say San Diego's is better, but not quite, really.
Well, you know what I heard? Actually, you know, speaking to actually some professionals and people that have gone to San Diego, you know, for like, say, 16 years. I spoke to this one guy, and what they're saying is that New York is, you know, gotten to be, you know, bigger, better, and cleaner. You know, even and even more organized than San Diego is now. And it's a, you know, it's a testament to, you know, trust me, I went to the first Reed Expo run comic, New York Comic Con, like in 2006, I think it was. And it was, you know, it was packed, you know, like the fire department, you know, stopped letting people in because it was overcrowded. And they really, you know, expanded. And now they've used, now they're basically using the entire Javits Center. And it's just a massive amount of people in there. It's over 100,000 this past con.
Yeah. There were moments I couldn't even like breathe without like, rubbing up on somebody. It was so many people up in there.
Question about all that. On the New York Comic Con official website, they had a checklist of basically like advice to going to the con. And one of the suggestions was make sure to bring deodorant so you stay deodorized.
Listen here. I mean, I love my fellow geeks and comic book nerds and all that, but yeah, we can be some funky people, especially if you know, you're still a teenager or you're still like living at home with moms or whatever, and you're not really used to, you know, dressing up or washing up, you know, for a fancy night on the town. You know, they pretty much saying, well, look, it's gonna be a lot of people there. Ain't no point being funky. This is a basic common sense thing. But you know, number three on that survival guide was shower. Because nobody likes a, you know, a funky Frederick. And also, yeah, like you said, bring deodorant, not only for yourself, but, you know, bring a fresh stick for a friend, because you might run into somebody that might need it later on. You know, it does get hot, sticky up in there. You might need to, you know, deodorize. So I had my bag with the deodorant in it, had a couple of, you know, some cologne, some Febreze. You know, you take a quick run to the bathroom and freshen up middle of the day, because it is a long stretch being there. Some people were there the entire day, talking like 12 hours, 14 hours, 8 to 8, mm-hmm. 8 to 10.
So what time did both of you get there?
Well, the actual convention was 4 days. Dave, I don't know if you were there for Thursday.
No, I missed Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday was kind of like the preview VIP day where you can walk the floor and see everything without the huge crowds. Only certain people paid for that. Say Dave and I both, you know, went the 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, for Friday, I actually didn't go until early, like, I would say mid-afternoon.
That's approximately when I pulled in. You know, like, you try to get out as early as you can to get to the con, you know, on a Friday, you know, you pull strings and whatever. So I pulled in roughly, what, like 2:30, 3, something like that?
Yeah, about that. That's about when I got there, you know, that 2:33 range. And, you know, it was already loaded, packed, and it's kind of like being at a college campus because, I mean, yeah, the Javits Center, you know, albeit pretty big, there's so much to do and so many places to go because they make use of a lot of the different rooms and different sections in there. So first thing you notice is not only just the crowds of people, but the crowds of people in costumes. And if you check out the pics or the photos, any photos from Comic-Con, you're going to notice people dressed up as your favorite superheroes, people dressed up as, you know, supervillains, you know, from comic books, also video games.
And anime. People dressed up as super losers.
There was some super losers in there, you know.
Especially video games this year.
Yeah, a lot of video games and anime. A lot of characters I was like, who the hell is that? And had have it explained to me that was
Darth Nihilus.
Yeah, I'm Hakusho from the anime Unimoa. Like, what does that have to do with comic books? But the Comic Con has grown to the point where it's not just comic books. You know, there's kind of anything and everything, but you know, the main focus is we love our comic books. Let's check it out right here. I did notice. You guys remember the Captain America movie? They had like all the different ladies dressed in the red, white, and blue star-spangled gear, you know, the dresses and everything. There were, I'd say, 5 of them at Comic-Con I noticed right up front, and they were taking, like, group photos, and that was one of my first photos after walking into the convention center. But, yeah, you name it. You know, Spider-Man, Loki, Thor. And one thing was, it didn't matter if it was a man or a woman. Not only did I see a male doctor, Wonder Woman, I saw a female Doctor Doom, female Thor. I saw a lot of different variations on like the old costumes. you know, and it was a great way, you know, for people to express themselves and have fun. Dave, what were some of the best costumes you remember seeing?
I don't know if I remember seeing the male Wonder Woman. I think I went running the other way.
Yeah, he had a heavy back. That was not a good look. So.
Wonder Man. No,
he was definitely Wonder Woman. He had on the bustier and everything.
You know who I saw who actually – there were a couple of variations on the costume. Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze was the
There was a couple of Mr. Freezes around. You know, like they had the Schwarzenegger costume. I think, you know, I had a picture on the Code Slither podcast website of the Schwarzenegger costume. There was the animated series costume. You know, that was a pretty popular one this year. Yeah. Bane, of course, was a pretty popular one.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully there was like – yeah. No, I was going to say, hopefully the Bane was jacked up, because there were some Banes who just, you know, weren't very physically fit.
Yeah, if you're going to do Bane,
they
you know,
missing their venom.
And you're going to be out there with your shirt off, at least do some push-ups or something before you head out there, you know. You know, I mean, I know I'm not the biggest dude out there, but I'm not going to be dressing up as no Bane for Comic-Con or Halloween, you know, put that mask on in front like, you know, like that's the, like I'm Gotham's Reckoning.
Yeah, seriously. Not like with he's going to break anything other than, you know, a Twinkie.
Yeah, not with the noodles. But, you know, and a lot of Star Wars, I'd say a lot of Robin, you know.
Yeah, there was a lot of Robin. There was a lot of Robin, I think, based on Arkham City.
Arkham City, yeah, with the hood and everything. That was pretty cool. And, you know, like I said, male and female. Saw some female Robins, you know. I didn't see any male Catwomans, but let's just say that the Catwomen were out and about. I actually got one photo of a Catwoman alongside a black cat in costume. You know, so Marvel and DC meeting up. You know, that's always a good time. And one thing also, too, a lot of zombies. I mean, a lot I could be attributed to, and for you Walking Dead fans out there, there was a screening of The Walking Dead, I guess the season premiere, at the Comic-Con. So there were a lot of fans out in full force for that. So a lot of zombie costumes, you know, a lot of blood, fake blood and gore and guts and all that stuff. So,
yeah, that was in effect last year, too. And I think even the year before, like, especially, you know, now that The Walking Dead has really hit a big, you know, that's just a really popular thing. You know, I took a picture of I don't know if you guys are familiar with The Walking Dead, but I took a picture of someone who was cosplaying as Glenn, the Asian dude. You know, I saw other ones around too, but and Rick Grimes, you know, with the sheriff's hat.
Yeah, saw a lot of sheriffs out there, a lot of Rick Grimes. You know, I'm disappointed I see too many Breaking Bad characters, but you know, you can only get so much out there. There was a 7-foot Hulk.
I was gonna say Breaking Bad wouldn't have too much to do with that type of genre.
Yeah, That's true. But, you know, we did see some a lot of comic book costumes, a lot of sci-fi. A couple of Elektras, not as many as I would think. A lot of Black Widow.
Yeah, of course.
With that movie, The Avengers, you know, so a lot of variations on Black Widow. I actually saw Lilu Dallas from The Fifth Element, and she actually had a multi-pass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was a good time. So, yeah, we saw a lot of costumes. And I guess that could get us right into some of the panels that we checked out. Now, one thing about the Comic-Con is you cannot see everything. It is physically impossible to see everything you want to see. And a lot of that is because – not only because of the way they set up the schedule, because there's a lot of big Marvel panels and DC panels that are running at the same time. Or events that are running, like, you know, simultaneously. But because it's so crowded, it's so hard to, like, go across, you know, from one to the next. You know, think of trying to go across a fully packed college campus, you know, to jump from an 8 o'clock class, you know, to a 10 o'clock class, just like that.
Sure. And speaking of these cosplayers, you know, when people stop to take their picture, that means traffic stops.
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic.
The flow of people who are moving from one place to another stops because people are taking the picture, and you know. Thankfully, a lot of people are respectful of the people taking pictures. They don't want to, you know, photobomb and jump into the picture by accident. But, you know, ultimately, you know, you're trying to get to a panel, and it's like, oh, you know, you got to get through this, you know, whole host of people just to get there.
Yep. That's true. So, I mean, like I said, a lot of panels, you know, on the Marvel and DC side, a lot of panels overall. There were panels about Star Wars books, about the Anime Network, you know, how to get a job in the video game industry with Capcom, for instance, you know, and.
Well, classic. I was going to say, how about you discuss the panels? Because I'm like, if you recall, during the you know, like when we were at the con, I told you I've actually made a conscious decision to not go to the panels.
Yeah, that was the thing. You know, you can kind of make your own experience because you had the main floor or the main showroom floor where you see all the different booths, all the demonstrations, the video games, the stage, all the displays. And then you got the panels. You go into a lot of these different side rooms and, you know, they had the you know, they had the podium up there and one or maybe four or five different people just went up there and spoke. And, you know, you kind of got some news that way. One panel I went to was from Batman to the Dark Knight, you know, an interview with the man who was the executive producer of Batman. His name is Michael Uslan. And he's actually been the executive producer of every single Batman movie since 1989's Batman.
You should have walked up to him and said, Eclectic wanted me to ask you a question. You bragging?
Actually, I came pretty close to that question. I did get a chance to ask him a question. But, you know, he actually wrote a book, which, you know, he had released, you know, just before the con and was telling people to go out and buy, called The Boy Who Loved Batman. And it talked about his story from when he was a little boy back in the 60s, how he used to read Batman comics. He was disappointed by the 60s Batman TV show because it was really campy and went away from the dark origins of Batman. Because not many people know, you know, I mean, people know about Bruce Wayne and the parents dying, but the original comics were really dark and gritty, you know, like kind of like how Batman, you know, has been in recent years. He wanted the movie, you know, or he wanted some form of, and he made a vow that the movie was going to be that way if he ever were to make one. So over the years, he became a writer for Batman, a writer at DC Comics, you know, and eventually, you know, an editor, and eventually, you know, got the funding together and, you know, was able to put together the Batman movie. Now, this wasn't an overnight thing. You know, as you know, the Batman movie came out in 1989. He got the funding and, you know, sort of the, he got the funding and the script together back in the 70s. I think it was like late 70s, 79. And it took him that full 10 years to get like Tim Burton on board, to get a studio on board, to get the actors, you know, that he wanted for it. And, you know, he showed us some excerpts of the book. It was his idea to have Jack Nicholson as the Joker. And he said that he had wanted that because he saw The Shining and he went and sketched, you know, sketched Jack Nicholson's face in that infamous Here's Johnny scene when he's looking through the chop through the door, you know, put him in white face and with the, you know, the Joker, Joker smile and the Joker makeup. And he said that was a dead ringer for the Joker. And so that was one of those things where he said he must have Jack Nicholson as the Joker. And he was actually, you know, he was pretty candid about a lot of things. Told us that he didn't believe at first that Michael Keaton could have pulled off Bruce Wayne and Batman, but he was convinced, you know, what convinced him was Michael Keaton's movie Clean and Sober, which he played a serious role about somebody, you know, coming off of drug addiction. And, yep, so it was cool to see hear him talk about that, you know, hear him talk about the development of Batman, how it turned from a, you know, a dark Tim Burton-esque movie to, you know, a big toy commercial. By the time we got to Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, the studios had taken over and, you know, kind of turned it into, you know, a cross-licensing thing where they was trying to sell Happy Meal toys and sell, you know, action figures rather than sell a movie. And then how he was able to, you know, work with Christopher Nolan to bring it back to its roots in Batman Begins and then going forward into Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. And, you know, great experience on that panel. I did put my hand up and, you know, at first I thanked him for introducing Billy Dee Williams and Morgan Freeman in the Batman mythos as the two black dudes. You know, I did tell him I forgive him for Harvey Lee Jones as Tommy Lee Jones as Harvey Dent. Later on, but you know, and I asked him to, you know, if he could elaborate on you know, those tough years with Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, and you know, we'd have to go through with that. He said he was gonna, like, you know, just you know, start talking about people, you know, and that I took that to mean that Joel Schumacher, you know, was pretty much the guy responsible for most of that crap. But, you know, he said, you know, it was a tough time, but, you know, he realized that, you know, if you want to really have something, you know, be in your vision, you do have to find a way to, you know, sort of tell some people no. And that includes like the studios and, you know, the different sponsors, you know, to kind of make your movie, you know, which, you know, he does have regrets about that. But he said it was good to have it on the big screen. And, you know, the fact that you can get like eventually an Arnold Schwarzenegger involved in want to be involved in your movie says a lot. But, you know, so that was one fun panel. That was actually the first one I sat in on. Later that day, Dave and I actually checked out, and this capped off our first day there on Friday, The Psychology of Cosplay.
Yes.
So, you know, me and Dave.
Is there psychology to it now?
Yeah, apparently there is. Which I was thinking, okay, people dress in costumes, and this might be fun because the psychology, talking about it, you know, what goes behind it. I was thinking there would be a lot of deep-seated issues and, you know, you hate your mother and that kind of stuff. You know, your father was never around, or, you know, you got abused as a child, and this is why you're dressing up as costumes and going not just to Comic-Con, but these people go to – and that was we found out a lot about cosplay then. Now – the room was full with people in costume. In fact, you know, while we was waiting online for this thing, we saw a lot of costumes. Commissioner Gordon was a good one.
Yes, yes, he's up on the site. Yeah. But I think we're the only ones in the, well, like one of the few who were attending the panel who actually had never cosplayed ever.
Yeah, yeah, they were like
losers.
Apparently.
Well, hold on. Here's the question. Now, and answer this honestly. If each one of you had to pick, what would you go as? Who? Come on.
You mean to Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Please. You know what? Given all the talk I've been having this year, I probably would have went as Black Woman. I did see one costume I really liked, and I took a photo alongside him, Casey Jones from the Ninja Turtles. And that guy had the mask on, he had the hair going, and he had all the different weapons. He even had a cricket bat.
Yeah, Casey Jones is actually a pretty, you know, common costume. A lot of people do it really well. I would go as Captain America.
There you go.
That would be.
I want to go as something where I get to wear a mask.
Yeah, they talked about that too. Saw some people wear masks and some don't. And a lot of people that wear the masks, they find more of those people, you know, felt more like themselves underneath the mask than the people that didn't. It was an interesting, you know, panel because a lot of the people that were speaking, when they talk about like psychology, there were some psychologists there, you know, giving their expert clinical opinion.
Who were also cosplayers.
Yeah, they were like, I do this on the weekends. I get out with my group and do this. So it's not like I'm just talking from a clinical study. I actually know the, you know, experience it. Some hot psychologists too, by the way, but it's neither here nor there. And, you know, one guy, he does so many costumes, like, and most of his stuff is like Xbox, like Halo and stuff like that. So he makes a lot of props for his costumes. He made so many props that he ended up going to a business for himself. And you typically hear this, oh, well, you know, I made so much money, I ended up just quitting my day job, and this is what I do full time. And, you know, I hate those stories usually, but I was like, wow, this guy makes that much money, you know, fixing like costumes and
making guns, props, yeah.
Yeah, guns for Halo costumes and stuff. And he was showing a lot of photos of his stuff. And, you know, that stuff, I mean, it looks like it's right out of the video game in terms of, you know, the authenticity. Yeah. You know, the work and the amount of time and money that these people put in. It's one thing to go into, like, Spencer's Gifts or Party City and just get you, like,
shit,
that.
Shouts to Spencer's.
Yeah, get you that Batman costume with the bulked up fake muscles and, like,
yeah. Or Ricky's,
yeah. Yeah, go to Ricky's or whatever. But these were people that were buying the fabric and sitting there stitching and sewing with the machinery and getting the pieces. And not only that, but they actually had to deal with, like, say you go fly, you know, you go on air travel, whatever. The TSA ends up damaging your costume or, you know, not letting certain things through, you know, and all that hassle just so they can, like, look the part and authentically. You know, so, I mean, it was pretty interesting to see all that play out. And, you know, I have a newfound respect for the cosplayers. At first, I was just like, wow, these guys are weird or these chicks are hot. Now I'm like, wow, how much time did you put in to get that, you know, to get that? Because that's awesome. You know, it's tremendous.
Absolutely, I agree. I agree. My viewpoint on them is kind of, you know, eased up, mellowed out, or, you know, kind of evolved towards, oh, you know, I see where they're going with that, you know?
But to some of the psychology aspect of it, much of it was, well, these people are normal like you and me. And I thought, wow, you know, they showed all these different charts and graphs of what people do and how many, you know, cosplay and how much they spend. I mean, I would say based on the number of the amount of dollars a lot of them spend, maybe normal is not a good indicator. But, you know, they were saying a lot of these folks that do this cosplay, you know, they're just, you know, they got day jobs. You know, they're just average people. Like, there's not too many, like, psychopaths or, you know, like, people that with emotional issues. And if anything, it was more of a release for people that did the cosplaying. So, yeah, who knows? You know, you might see some cosplayers on the as guests on the upcoming Cold Slither podcast.
Yeah. And they made a point of saying that, you know, these folks who are cosplaying are, you know, are really, if anything, more courageous than anything else. So that they're out there, you know, showing off their love and respect for these you know, these characters and the genre that you know, they're willing to put themselves out like that.
Yep. That's true. Now, that ended Friday for us, and you know,
there were still panels going on.
Yeah, there was tons of panels. I mean, we just mentioned two just now, but between that and walking around and being on long ass lines, because the you know, the more popular the panel, if it was a Marvel or DC panel, guaranteed you needed a full hour before it started to be on the line. You know,
yes, so that's.
Yeah, you were just sitting there talking to random people, just waiting to get in. You know, there was no sneaking in or any of that stuff. And I got to give both props and, you know, and somewhat of a middle finger to the staff at Comic-Con. Props because, yeah, they had a tough job. And there were quite a few people that were nice and, you know, reasonable. And they said, well, you know, sorry, you got to wait on the line. You can't go this way. You know, they were corralling people, you know, and it's a huge crowd to deal with, especially on the Saturday and Sunday. Big middle finger to some of them that were just being dicks, you know, that were just like I think it was like one of those evening panels. It might have been the cosplay one or something else. I was trying to get to the IGN theater, which, Dave, you know, this, I don't know why. This is a big theater, but it was tough to get in there. And, you know, it was like for an evening, you know, for one of those end of evening events. It was actually, it's just a random guy. The guy on the YouTube channel with the
Marvel. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I wanted to see that. You know, never got to see it. I'll tell you what I did end up seeing that night. But so, you know, I see the long line and I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, well, this must be it, right? Because it's in that direction. The lady stops me. No, you can't go here through his before I even say anything. So I say, well, I'm just looking for the IGN theater. Is this it? Sir, this is the line. You can't go through here. I said, lady, I just asked you a question. Is this or is this not the IGN theater? So I can know if I'm wasting my time because this thing's about to start. Oh, no, it's down there. But, sir, you can't go through. I was like, bye, lady.
Yeah, those people end up working security or helping with, you know, big crowds. They end up being grouchy.
Those are the people that end up beating his ass.
Yeah, and, you know, it's I know it's the end of the day. You went through a lot with a lot of people, but, you know, I mean, take a pill for real. You know, ain't nobody trying to bogart past you. Plus, you got two guys in the Comic-Con shirts behind you. You know, ain't nothing jumping off here. You know, I understand. Just talk to your guests, man. I mean, and so. That's all I got to say. You know, if you're listening, anybody from the Comic-Con, check your staff. Some of them, you know, yeah, you might want to.
They're hired help, so they really don't care.
Yeah, and I don't even think it's a New York thing because there were quite a few nice people up there, you know, from the area. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, but
you got anything else from Friday? Anything else from Friday?
I can't even recall.
I got some. I got something for Friday before we move into Saturday.
Oh yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
This is, you know, I was thinking about putting this into the Sharktacon pit later, but I wanted to, you know, just describe this on Friday. So one of the things I tried to get to on Friday in the middle of the afternoon was the Stan Lee signing.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah.
And you'll see, you know, there's a couple of fuzzy pictures of Stan Lee up on the Cold Slither podcast page because what I discovered is that the booth that was hosting Stan Lee was requiring you to buy a $400 print that Stan would sign and only sign that.
God.
And that's the only way that you could get in to see him. And, you know, everyone's just like, you know, it's a, it was a nice print, but it's a Brian Hitch art. It's not even like a, you know, like a piece of a classic Kirby art or something that, you know, he might have had a hand in, you know, kind of formulating. And, you know, there's, you know, all these staffers are just jumping in the way to stop you from taking a free picture of Stan Lee. And I'm like, come on, man, for $400, really? I don't even like this print. So there's like a lot of. There's mad disappointed people, like, because what happened was on the website they said the booth is going to set the parameters of going in to see Stan Lee, and then when he got there you saw what it was, you know, you walked away disappointed. It was a real letdown. I'm worried. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say you had to really want to see Stan Lee.
Yeah. See, but here's the thing. I was debating it. Why? Yeah. Because the guy looked frail. He's 90 years old.
I don't know if I'd meet or see Stan Lee.
Josh, oh, my gosh.
I would.
This guy is a not a true believer.
Yeah, I've met Stan Lee, and I have my yeah, I've got my Stan Lee, you know, bump me in the shoulder story from. I think I told you guys already on the show, so I won't bore you with it again. But it is quite a moment because, after you meet him, you realize this is the guy that made all this stuff that I grew up or that I like. You know, all the movies, the X-Men and the Spider-Man. He's responsible for all that. And not just Marvel, his impact on comics in general. You know, a lot of what DC ended up doing with their books and their characters, you know, was reaction to what Stan Lee put together.
Yeah,
he's a living legend. So I think a lot of people still went and paid that $400 bills because they figured, well, you know, man, you know, he's not long for the earth, and I could take this autograph and sell it for maybe twice, three times that much on the eBay. There were some other. It's funny you bring up autographs. There were quite a few autograph, you know, sessions. There was actually a whole section. And I tell you, Javits, there were some rooms that were like, you know, airport hangars. You know, they were so huge. And one of them was like Autograph Alley, where you can kind of just see all the different, you know, people. But you had to get a ticket and stand on like the longest line ever in creation.
So you had to get a ticket just to go to Artist Alley?
No, not art, but... Oh, well, the autographs.
Yeah, for Autograph Alley.
Yeah, for the autographs. The Artist Alley was wide open, but the autographs...
Okay, explain the difference between the two.
Autographs were just people, you know, giving autographs. So, like,
So if you had, like, a stack of comics and you wanted to get
Them... the thing is, they charge you per item signed. I mean, some...
Well, it depends. Yes.
So it depends on who it is. Like, Stan Lee, I think it was, like, per item that you want signed, you know, they would charge you. Sean Astin was there. If you know him as Rudy from the movie Rudy, and Samwise Gamgee.
Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah. From Lord of the Rings trilogy. And Lou Ferrigno, the original Hulk from TV.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher was there. Ian McDermott was there. You know, well, Tim, just real quick, Tim, E, have either of you been to a Comic Con at all? Like, you know, any of the regional Comic Cons?
I have not made it to one.
Yeah.
All right, so this is, you know, this is, I got you. So this is like a real primer for you guys. So what Classic was talking about was, you know, it varies from guest to guest. You know, some people are, you know, in demand, and some people are charging $50 an autograph, and some just aren't. Some are 20, some are even less.
Yeah.
Grant Morrison, I read an article. Grant Morrison, the writer for DC Comics, was literally sitting at a table in the middle of the showroom floor with like six people online.
Yeah,
you know, waiting for him to sign, you know, their books, and some people have like a line 20 feet deep.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, and so. some of the autographs were taking place in this section. Some, you know, were at the Marvel booth or the DC booth, you know, because like, you know, if they were writers or artists on the comics, like Rick Remender had a long line, you know, for the line. Avengers. Yeah, you know,
I got a story about that, but go on.
Yeah, and also. Some of these other names too. Adam West and Burt Ward were there.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, the old Batman and Robin from the TV days. Walt Simonson.
That's why they make money now. They just go tour and do autographs.
Yeah, do appearances because they get paid for that, and then they just sit and do the autographs. And you know, it's that's a deal. Jason David Frank, Tommy from the Power Rangers, Green Ranger. Yeah, he was there. Now, mind you, I didn't see none of these people. And I was there for damn near 3 days. You know, but that's how it goes. There was so much going on. And you got to pick and choose what you're going to see. You know, maybe at the 50th, I might stand in line for an autograph from somebody. You know, God willing, Stan Lee's still around. I might, you know, take some money from the collection and go out there. But, you know, we'll see. You know, we did get to meet some artists in Artist Alley.
You know, Artist Alley was this huge airport hangar where, like Tim, you would have been in awe of just the rows and rows of artists and colorists and inkers and writers who were there. And Classic was talking about the line for Rick Remender at the Marvel booth for his Marvel signing. I literally walked up when Remender came back from a signing, and there was no one in front of his table in Artist Alley. So I got him to sign my Uncanny Avengers and some Uncanny X-Force.
Yeah,
like nothing. I talked to him about like what was going to happen in Uncanny Avengers. He's like, you know, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
They all say that.
Yeah, you know, something like that. But yeah, he was. You know, it was, Artist Alley this year was such an improvement, and I really hope that Reed Expo puts it back in North Pavilion next year, so that, you know, it stays the way it was, because this year I think was the very best Artist Alley I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was a great location, a great experience. You know, everything was wide open. It was kind of the – if you could go there alone, you know, just in that section and feel like you got the Comic-Con experience, because, again, you had the costumes. Even if you didn't bring comics, which Dave and I actually went in our private collections, took out some comics, knowing that certain artists would be there and say, oh man, we got to get them to sign this. And there, they didn't charge you to sign your comics. But even if you didn't bring comics, like in the case of Mark Bagley, I did bring some comics, but I said, yo, I got to get something for Tim because he told me go find this guy. And he just happened to be selling prints of his artwork. So you can like get a print from the artist there. They would sell them, and of course they would sign them, you know, that's part of that price, you know, for like 20 25 bucks, 40 bucks, depending. And then you can also get commission work. You know, they were there and they had their tools, so you know, they could sketch something for you in color or black and white, however you prefer, and hook that up that way. So Bagley, Terry Dodson, you know, got some stuff from him. Jamal Igel, who's a you know, I saw him at the last time I was at Comic Con. You know, so yeah, some good opportunities there.
Yeah, I was gonna say E was asking about the crab sketch that's on the Cults of the Podcast site. That is from David Peterson, who does Mouse Guard for Archaea Entertainment. And I highly recommend that to any CSP listeners out there. It's a well done book. It's kid safe. You know, it was actually voted, I think it won the Eisner for like best kids collection, but it's definitely not just for kids. You know, it's called Mouse Guard. They even did a role playing game based on it. But it's really good. And I was fortunate enough to get a sketch from George Perez.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know who George Perez is, he did, you know, huge runs on Avengers. He did New Teen Titans. He helped create the New Teen Titans with Marv Wolfman in the early 80s. You know, that basically was a precursor to Teen Titans on Cartoon Network. And he did the Captain America sketch.
He also did that infamous JLA Avengers crossover from years back.
Yes. Yes, I've gotten tons of stuff signed by him. Luckily, we've been fortunate to have him in the New York cons, you know, pretty consistently for like the last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, he's cool. And lastly, Jim Chung, who made a name for himself doing covers and Avengers Children's Crusade. Mm-hmm. There's two prints I bought from him that are pictured on the CSP website. They're awesome, and he did a Captain America sketch for me too.
Did you say just now?
Jim Chung.
Jimmy Chung. I actually got my brother Adam Black got me the Avengers Children's Crusade paperback for my birthday in April.
Nice. Pretty good. So I got him to sign a book, and I bought these prints from him, and he did a Captain America sketch from me that's on the site. So you know, it was Artist Alley. I mean, for me, you know, like I've done the panel thing before. This year for me, Artist Alley was a huge event. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I gotta agree. You know, and the great thing is you run into a lot of artists. You know, even if you kind of know the books, or, you know, like there's some comics I haven't read in years, but you see the names and you're like, whoa, man, I remember you did this, you know, you worked on this, you know, so it was cool that way, because, you know, you get to really, you know, sort of relive some of the things you like about comics, and see the creators. Like with Damian Scott, I didn't know he was going to be there. And as soon as I saw him, you know, because actually I saw him setting up. And it was just and he's a black dude from Brooklyn, you know, got some tattoos, got the, you know, camouflage hat, just looked like some random brother. And I thought he was like just there for the con or whatever, puts his bag down on the table, starts setting up. Then he breaks out the sign. I'm like, yo, Damian Scott, yo, what's up? You know, and he goes, yeah, man, I just got here. And I said, man, you did some work on Batgirl. In fact, you did the Spider, and he broke out the web of Spider-Man's, the you know, point one and point two, from that one issue where it was like a two-parter with the Brooklyn Avengers that I actually have at home. You know, if I knew he was going to be there, I would have brought him and had him sign those, but I got him to do a commission sketch of Batgirl for me, which will be hanging up in the Classic Cave. You know, and you know, a few others.
On the site.
Yeah, that's on the site, too, at coldsofthepodcast.com. You can check that out. Eclectic, I got you something. I'll keep that, you know, I'll let that be a surprise when I drop it on you there. But got something for you. Got nothing for none of the other hosts of the show. Sorry. So anyone listening, you know, you got to go to the 50th Comic Con and get your piece of artwork there. But you know, a great experience in Artist Alley. Dave, let's go on to you know, Saturday and Sunday and just talk about what else went down. Particularly, you know, any of the other panels, events, contests that you noticed.
Oh, Saturday was the day I lost track of Classic.
Yeah, we lost each other.
was that the day you
tried to escape Classic?
No. I lost track of him because we met up early. Saturday morning, I was waiting online for that George Perez sketch. There's huge, you know, like I was like number 80 something on the line.
Yeah.
You know, and I finally got my Captain America sketch. I was ecstatic. You know, it cost me 40 bills, but hey, it's totally worth it. He used to charge like 100 just for a quick headshot. So, you know, we met up there, and after that, you know, I lost track of him because he was in panels and all over the place, and I was in Artist Alley and like on the show floor for most of the day. Like on Saturday, I met up with Mike Mignola, got him to sign a Hellboy trade paperback.
I didn't know you saw Mignola. Damn.
Yeah, he was there Saturday.
Yeah, I should have went back and got that.
Greg Pak and Carlo Pagulayan signed a couple of issues of Planet Hulk's single, you know, issues for me. I ran into Mark Wade, who signed some Captain Americans and the new Daredevil.
Yep.
And he was mad cool. He talked to me for a couple of minutes about Captain America because there was no one else online with me.
Jeez. Yeah,
in front of Mark Wade. I ran into Paolo Rivera. I'm sorry.
Did you recognize them, or did they have signs up? Because when I say half these people, I don't even know what they look like, but I know their names.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple things. One, in terms of like pregame prep, the website is helpful because they have pictures of a lot of the creators.
Okay.
So that you can recognize them on site, and there is. A guidebook, a pamphlet. You know, you get one when you check in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and you know you carry it with you basically for the rest of the weekend. This year, they actually ran short on Friday of these the handouts. I don't know why. Maybe it was that crowded. It's got a Jim Lee cover on it too.
Yeah.
You know, there's a picture of it on the website. But you can use that. They have pictures of the guests in here also, so you can kind of recognize them if you're having problems, you know, figuring out who's who. But the website is a huge help
to figure out
what people look like.
Also helpful was the Comic-Con app, which I had on the iPhone, and that you could pull up to each of the different individuals, whether they were artists, writers, you know, panels, and just get a location or a schedule for them on your app. Although the Javits Center, not the best in terms of cell phone reception, and you will, if you're going and taking a lot of photos like Dave and I were, you will run your battery down quickly. Now, Dave was smart enough to have a camera on the side, too.
as my main picture taking device.
I had that. Yeah.
Were you able to take any? You weren't able to record any audio interviews, were you?
No, I kind of gave up on audio interviews. I got a few video clips of certain things, but no, I was gonna do some audio.
Tim, he didn't think about us. He could have got us on the spot interview, Cold Slither exclusives. He didn't care.
Yeah, I could have. You had my battery lasted long enough to take that stuff. Between the photos and having to charge my charge the battery, it was like I would have spent more time charging my battery than being at the Comic-Con and enjoying it. So I was like, screw it after a while.
Yeah, we're foreshadowing my entry into the Sharktacon pit.
Yeah.
But no, in all seriousness, this is one recommendation I have for Classic. I thought of it after talking to someone else. Maybe you can get press credentials for the Cold Slither podcast for next year.
Oh, wow. No doubt. Because that's the thing. You were in good if you had a booth, like you say you were a presenter, because then you could just come in early and you don't have to worry about the lines. Or if you have press credentials, because first off, you had to sit on some lines, but you got front row because they were reserved seats for press. And, you had access to certain areas that, most of the regular fans didn't have, you had some VIP areas and you could come on Thursday and, spend some extra time. And it's not that hard, especially if you've got a site or a podcast like we do, to say, hey, look, I'm doing this for the Cold Slither podcast or for the Click Nation, and here are my press credentials. Of course, you got to probably file some paperwork ahead of time and stuff.
And you got to get a fedora and with a little piece of paper in the top that says Scoop.
and you got to talk like you're from the 1950s with it's the bee's knees and the cat's pajamas. Yeah, I got to get on the phone with my editor.
Oh, in all seriousness, the folks I spoke to are like, listen, if the site promotes comics, promotes the culture, promotes, comics in general, you can definitely, apply for press credentials. And if they deny you, they deny you. But, why not? And as long as you're able to keep it up. Listen, this is the first step towards that.
Yeah, Tim.
And there were quite a few.
I'm be up in there.
There were quite a few publications just represented in general. Like I met a lady from Business Insider. She was at one of the Spider-Man panels with us on the line, quite a few USA Today. So, I mean, all you got to do is do a news search for Comic-Con, and you'll find, of course, Newsarama and Comic Vine and all your different comic book sites. But, I mean, everyone and their mother was there, so just get in press row. And like you said, get that fedora like Eclectic said.
Next year.
I'm not following all these comic book Twitter accounts for nothing.
I also want to shout out an artist that I met, Artist Alley, Owen Brosman, who worked on this graphic novel that I ended up purchasing. He kind of taught me into it because he was telling me about it, called Nature of the Beast. It's about this guy that, wrestles alligators and, apparently some aliens want to take over the earth. And, they hire the guy to train, like a tournament. They had like lions and polar bears and sharks and tigers, et cetera, fighting to see who would take on the aliens in this. Like, it's the weirdest plot ever, but the artwork was fantastic and I was sold immediately on it. But I want to give him a shout out, Owen Brosman. Quite a few artists in Artist Alley. I was thinking about the podcast in this respect. I gave a lot of them our information and said, hey, look, I'm going to take down your email and contact you. We might want to have some guests talk about some comic book stuff, whether it's comic book artwork or whatever. Would you consider that in the future? A lot of them, I would say almost all of them said yes. They said, nice. Man, that would be awesome. And some of them were like, what's a podcast? But that's a different story altogether. But yeah, if you're in your local shop, check out Owen Brosman, Nature of the Beast. It's also from Adam Mansbach, who's the number one best-selling author of Go to Fuck to Sleep. It is not family friendly, obviously, but good times there. Yeah, Saturday. I actually came in a little earlier that day. That was a full day for me. Like I said, hooked up with Dave Nappy. He ended up getting some signings. I was kind of all over the place in terms of signings, charging my phone, going and checking out the showroom floor. Marvel had a great booth where they had a costume contest. So a lot of the cosplay, and they actually were calling it Costober, where you can, like, you know, celebrate costumes in October, of course. I think Black Widow won their costume contest for Saturday because I saw her taking a lot of photos on the stage with people. A lot of debuts and demos of new video games. Marvel has two games coming out. One is one is Avengers Battle for Earth, and that is sort of like an Xbox Connect or a, it's a motion game. So I think what they had on display was either PlayStation Move or Xbox Connect. But it's a fighting game, but you control the characters, you know, full motion, no controller, just with your hands and feet. So, you know, and I do have, like, a demo video of a guy playing it. But it has all the, you know, the Marvel brand in there, the, you know, Thor and Hulk and Iron Man. And the way they set up the plot is if you're playing, like, say, Thor versus the Hulk, you know, one of them was a Skrull. So, you know, that's kind of part of the storyline.
Because it's basically the Secret Invasion in video game form.
Pretty much. And the name of the other game actually misses me. I might be mixing the two, but there's
Adam
another
Marvel
one.
Marvel Heroes.
Yeah, that's the card-based game where it's an MMORPG or RPG multiplayer.
They're giving away passes to the beta right now, the closed beta. The beta I feel like even trying to swing it or not.
Yeah, I'm checking my swag bag. I actually have a few cards that they gave out. Apparently, the way you power up your characters is by cards, trading cards that I guess you could buy in stores or whatever. And they gave me, some lady gave me like 3 or 4 trading cards. I had to just sign up for some email newsletter. And she said, this will get you started on the game. Those were two. DC had their booth. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the Nickelodeon show, they had their booth. You name it. Squaresoft had a booth, Square Enix, I should say, for their games. Devil May Cry is coming out, so if you're into video games. And I'd say with this main showroom floor, there was a lot of back issues, too. A lot of comic vendors came in with their back issues, the dollar bin and $2 issues. And again, if you're going to Artist Alley, you're trying to get something signed and you're not sure or you don't have the issue, you can go and check it in the dollar box and might maybe pick it up there. It's not going to be mint condition, obviously, but something to get signed.
But maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
You never know. You got to look.
There were some finds there. I'd say I saw a lot of the Fear Itself line in the $2 box in one of the vendors. I was like, if I wanted to read Fear Itself, I could do that right now, you know, and get them all here. T-shirt shop. I got my Aquaman T-shirt, and I also got one for, Spider-Man, which I wore on Sunday. Sunday was all about Spider-Man, though. But going back to Saturday, there was two panels, and I spent most of the day trying to get into different panels and stay on different lines and figure out what was going on, meet some artists, see some things. But the two main things, and Tim, you seen this in the news that came out from Comic-Con. One was the Marvel television panel.
Yes.
And I tell you right now, that was worth standing in line for. I had to make some decisions, too, because there were some panels going on around the same time, like the comics and hip-hop. I wanted to see that one. But I was like, nah, if I had to choose, I got to get this one right away, So I missed the chances to meet Pete Rock. But, next year.
What a loser.
Yeah,
DMC was there, too, I think.
Yeah,
Who was?
DMC
from Run DMC.
Daryl McDaniel. What are you doing? Yeah. Are you running around doing stupid stuff with stupid people?
And this is why Eclectic needs to go to the Comic-Con next year so he can shut his mouth
right.
And stop talking shit.
King of Pod is done higher.
Yeah. But, but the Marvel TV panel, which I kind of didn't want to go to, but I'm glad I did. But that led into the Marvel Now panel, which I did want to go to because I wanted to find out more about this Marvel Now, what their plans were, and get up in the middle of it with my T-shirt that had the hashtag Marvel No and, protest and give them the soy bomb. But I ended up not doing that because one surprise from the Marvel TV panel was – actually, I'll get into the surprise in a sec. They showed off some of the shows that they're going to have going on. Of course, we know they canceled Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
That you got to bring that up, though.
On Disney XD. They are replacing that with Avengers Assemble, which is got better animation. They did show, some test footage of it.
So it's better animated than
Earth's Mightiest Heroes? Yeah, better drawn, better animated. I don't know about better plot. That's tough to say. From what I saw, it looked okay. Basically showed the Avengers, team fighting some like big Godzilla looking dragon and bringing them down. Hawkeye, Captain America, Hulk, Iron Man, Thor,
was Falcon there?
Falcon was not in the Falcon and Black Widow were not in the footage. Yeah, so they'll show.
Take out the black guy and the only female. I see how it is.
Yeah, and she had black in her name.
Yeah, and the cast, a lot of the returning cast from other Marvel shows, like Adrian Pazdar, who was on Heroes. He's Tony Stark, Iron Man. He's actually, the guy that you usually have playing the Hulk. He's still there.
Adrian played or voiced Tony in the Iron Man anime. And he's going to voice him in that Iron Man Hulk United, Heroes United.
In fact, he's going to voice Iron Man in pretty much every form.
Oh, yeah, and also Ultimate Spider-Man, he also voices him.
Yeah, so you had that, and then you had the Hulk and the Agents of Smash, which on first look, I was not too excited about this. It actually might be a pretty good show. I mean, it's the Hulk, and then it's got all these different Hulk and Hulk-related characters with him in a team, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever. But the roster is the Hulk, She-Hulk.
Yay!
Red Hulk.
Boo!
And his son, Scar.
Boo!
And A-Bomb.
Boo!
Or Abomination.
Rick Jones.
And A-Bomb, interesting casting. The voice of A-Bomb is going to be Seth Green from Robot Chicken. They showed A-Bomb. He's like the comic relief. He, is cracking some one-liners and everything. And I think it's an interesting dynamic because Hulk is, of course, the leader of the team. Red Hulk is like, the extra serious hardcore, guy. And, with Scar... Scar was just kind of like this silent figure, and he had the swords and everything. And Scar is going to be an interesting character, being the son of the Hulk, working alongside his pops. I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but the animation again was pretty slick. So that might be a plus for it. But check those out on Disney XD. On Disney XD, they're gonna
before you go to also on Disney XD, the crappy Avengers replacement there.
Yes.
Did they, from what you saw, did they try to kid it up and yuck it up like they did the Spider-Man?
Nope. It was, there were, I would say, no jokes or next to no jokes. There were some funny moments, but they were like, a lot of it tied to the movie.
Don't say anything. I just wanted to make sure they didn't pussify it like they did Ultimate Spider-Man.
I will rant real quickly on how at San Diego Comic-Con, people were asking about Earth's Mightiest Heroes and Avengers Assemble, and Jeff Loeb was saying how when Earth's Mightiest Heroes end, it transitions into Avengers Assemble, trying to make it sound like
it's a continuation.
Yeah, like it's continuation, which is totally not
accurate. Bullshit.
Yeah, it's totally bullshit. He's just saying that so people would believe the lie he told, because there's no way it could transition straight into Avengers Assemble, because in Avengers Assemble, Falcon is joining the team as like the rookie, and we've already seen Falcon debut on Earth's Mightiest Heroes. So obviously,
yeah, and then you got to explain why Vision isn't there and what.
Yeah, they went from expanding the roster to now all of a sudden having six people.
Yellow Jacket. When does it debut?
Was it January of 2013 or so? It's next year.
Oh, sometime around DC.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Right, Tim?
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes, we will.
And don't quote me on the January. I know it's 2013, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I can't.
More likely it'll be sometime next year.
Yeah, it could be the spring. And a lot of what they debuted or showed was is coming in 2013. So, you know, going to be interesting next few months for Marvel.
You said also on XD.
Yeah, also on XD. And this is playing now, Tim informed me, as the Marvel mashup. And that's where they take some old school Marvel Marvel cartoons, and you know, they pretty much like just overdub them with you know, some funny stuff. So kind of like TV Funhouse type
stuff.
They're
gonna do a whole show.
I'm not sure if it's shows or clips. They showed a clip for us, but I think it was just because, you know, a lot of those cartoons are pretty short, like the Fantastic Four cartoon, the one that didn't have Human Torch in it.
I like to call those the parts of the show that I fast forward through.
The thing is about those is they're funny if you grew up watching those shows, especially if you grew up watching those shows, but they fail because they stick them in between the actual show you're trying to watch.
Yeah, that's
that, and that hero, that sketch shit, drawing shit, they just make that a whole block by itself.
Yeah, no one mentioned the sketch thing, but something tells me that might not be back. Who knows?
I hope it's good. Well, I mean, it's cool when you see them the first time, but since they have to replay them over and over again, you see Joe Quesada drawing Iron Fist like six times during the season.
that was pretty annoying.
At least they got rid of the one segment where the guy tried to show you what the real life powers would be. You wanted to have Spider-Man could jump so high? We got some people on the trampoline. Look at them go.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
That's like sports science. You know, when they do the sports science thing. They're going to be showing, this is not on Disney XD, but Marvel, you know, they've got some stuff coming out on DVD. That Hulk Iron Man, you know, sort of joining forces. Tim, that you talked about, that anime, animated movie, that's going to be coming up on DVD in 2013. Yeah. And then they're going back into the Marvel Knights animation, you know, a lot of the motion comics that, you know, you've seen already, like Astonishing X-Men. They're going to get into some more issues of that and put that out. They're also going to do Inhumans, that's going to be one, and then they talked about the Marvel anime, you know, and you know, kind of how that went down. They're actually bringing back an Iron Man's special movie where it's going to be Iron Man. I think it's called Rise of Technovore.
Techno Beaver.
Yeah, and that's going to have Iron Man. It'll have War Machine. It'll have we call Black Widow, Hawkeye, and it's going to have the Punisher in it.
And there's a trailer out for it, by the way.
Yeah, so you can check out the trailer.
As sucky as we would imagine,
it's that same anime style. So yeah.
So they didn't admit that the anime was a failure.
Oh no, the way they presented it, and again, this is Jeff Loeb was running the panel. So Tim and Adam Black's favorite comic book person was there. I didn't have any eggs to throw at him, but you know, he said, oh yeah, well, due to the success, the rousing success of the X-Men and Iron Man animes and the Blade, you know, but I don't think he indicated if they will be back for another season. Something tells me they will. You know, he was talking about how that was coming up, and then the Marvel Knights. So I was interested in the Marvel Knights because, you know,
that's a lot dirty shit.
Yeah, that's the motion comics so you can see a lot more of that. But the big news, the biggest news out of the Marvel TV panel, Coulson lives.
I thought you were going to say Coulson lived in the animated series.
But, I wish. That would be great. But they brought up you know, how Agent Coulson, you know, he might be back for the Avengers sequel. He might not. You know, they did that whole speculation. And then they said, well, we've got a special guest who, you know, would like to talk about, you know, this. Let's bring him on. And out from the doorway comes Clark Gregg, the man who plays Agent Coulson in the Avengers movie.
Woo!
Yeah, so he's there.
Did you get moist?
Huh?
Did you get moist?
Not really.
Not really. And you were actually there. Were you there in attendance for it?
Yeah, I was there for that panel.
Okay, a question. So I'm sure there was how long did you have to stand in line just to get in? Is it first come, first serve, or did you have to buy a ticket for it?
No, you had to be online. Okay. So, yeah, first come, first serve. I had to stand in the line for almost, I'd say, 45 minutes. And it was Yeah, it was. But, you know, it was kind of confusing because the same room, there was a panel that was letting out. And so the people were coming out and people going in. And I was actually online for the Marvel Now panel, which was right after that one. But I just happened to be one of the last people, you know, to get into the room for the Marvel panel, for the Marvel TV panel. So I just stayed in the room.
Yeah, that's the way to do it sometimes.
Yeah, they have people that would camp out in the room, you know, damn near all day if you line up your panels right. You know,
I'm about to say, man, it sounds like if you planned it perfectly, you could basically see what you wanted to see.
Yeah, that's how I ended up doing it. Yeah, so that's why I took in some panels because I knew like certain times I had to be here at a certain time for that. So in between, you fill it with other things. You know, go buy some books and you know, drool at some chicks and cosplay. But see your panels or see your artists. You know, get that out the way. You know, don't waste time trying to get a hot dog. That food was expensive. I packed my own food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of the survival kit. Yeah, survival guide.
Bring out that turkey sandwich.
Did they have some pizza?
They had pizza. The line for pizza was the longest line ever.
Fuck yeah, pizza line.
The food court pizza. I was like, hey, is this a line for an artist? No, this is the line for pizza. And this wasn't the end of it. It was running out of the food court. I thought it was a line for like to see Stan Lee or something.
F that pizza.
Yeah, yeah. Shit. Mystic Pizza. But the big news, of course, Agent Coulson was there. And you know how they're talking about that ABC TV series, S.H.I.E.L.D.? It's going to be based on S.H.I.E.L.D.? He's the star of it. So he will be in the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series. Agent Coulson, Clark Gregg will be the star of that. And that is written by Joss Whedon. And they kept hinting on, you know, how that was going to play into the Avengers sequel. Now I thought it was a prequel because obviously Coulson's dead in the Avengers.
Or is he?
You know, why would they show it afterward? But then Clark Gregg near the end, and this is after they showed a video, you know, kind of all his greatest moments from the Marvel movies with that in memoriam at the end. That was really, tear jerking. But right after that, he gets on the mic and he goes, well, Jeff, I don't know if you've ever heard of this thing called an LMD. there's a popular superhero out there that people, you know, seem to keep mentioning that goes by the name of Vision, and everyone just lost their shit.
Everybody's skeeting all over the room.
Everyone was chanting, Coulson. I mean, he was like the star of the night. And then they showed some video of Joss Whedon talking about how Agent Coulson, he basically made the announcement in the video that Coulson lives and that he'll be back for the S.H.I.E.L.D. series. And then right at the end of the video, he and this other writer, they're like, well, no, let's talk about which Avenger we're going to kill. And it cuts off right there. So interesting stuff. Kept people, you know, pulling people's legs with that. So the Marvel TV panel lets out, and then now it's Marvel Now, which I actually thought that this was a joke, but they actually said it like that every time.
I told you guys that's how you have to say it.
Yeah, they weren't just Marvel Now; they were like Marvel Now.
Oh, so they did say it, huh?
Yeah.
Any point did they say it and put their fists on their hips and turn to the side?
Yeah, they kind of did that too. Yeah,
Marvel Now.
Marvel Now.
Did you scream out Marvel No?
I did at one point. I was like, Marvel, no! But I didn't rip off my shirt and show the hashtag and, you know, jump on the stage and spray paint anybody.
Those of you listening, Classic's nipples are the shapes of hashtags.
Oh, Lord. This might be true. But, so at the Marvel Now panel, they revealed some secrets, some things, upcoming with some of the books. This was actually not just Marvel Now. This was the Marvel Now Cup of Joe panel. So, Marvel's Joe Quesada, the former editor-in-chief at Marvel. I think he's now, like, the chief. He's got some big muckety-muck title.
I think he's an officer.
No, I think he's actually Apache chief.
Yeah, Apache chief of Marvel. So now here's the couple comics that they talked about that are coming in 2013. Guardians of the Galaxy is coming back with a new number.
Woo!
of course, in preparation for the new movie. You know, so Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon, you know, a few others. Drax will be in there. The Groot, or this big tree. And there's a mystery character in Tony Stark-looking Iron Man armor. Also on the team, and of course they left it open as to who that is. You got to pick up the book to find out.
Actually, yeah, that's not, not even
revealed
a secret.
It actually, oh, it's Iron Man.
It's Iron Man.
It's Iron Man. It literally is.
Wow.
They put it on.
They have a big image
on the web.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Oh, they didn't reveal it there because I was like, yeah. "What the hell is Iron Man doing in space?" But hey.
Is a follow-up. So, but one of the biggest parts of this, like I did some follow-up reading on CBR and Newsarama after the con, like Monday night or whatever, and I was surprised that Bendis is writing this.
Yep.
Well, they had already announced that he was leaving Avengers Assemble after number 8. So since he was going to be without a book, well, not without a book, because he's writing all new X-Men.
All new X-Men, yeah.
So, since he had just used Guardians of the Galaxy in Avengers Assemble, everyone was kind of speculating if that would be his next move, and apparently it is. And actually, going on another tangent here, in some of the interviews with Bendis, he's teased because the format of All New X-Men is the original five teenage members of the X-Men, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Beast, Iceman and Angel get pulled back to the present day to see how things have changed and for better and worse, well, mostly worse. And Bendis said, yeah, boo.
This is Heroes Past again.
But Bendis said that he's going to be touching on some of that in Guardians of the Galaxy, basically dealing with how, you know, in Marvel Comics, there's all this jumping back and forth through time, characters coming from the past to the present, from the future to the present, future to the past, blah, blah, blah. And it's basically damaging the time-space continuum.
And retcon.
There's going to be... He said there's going to be ramifications felt in different areas of the galaxy. And basically, what I'm thinking is the Guardians will end up encountering the... feedback from all this time jumping, and maybe it'll be different characters they'll interact with, maybe other versions of characters from the disrupted time streams, things like that.
Crisis on Infinite Marvels, that's all it is.
Oh, and he also said that there's going to be more members added to Guardians of the Galaxy from the Marvel Universe that aren't necessarily cosmic-related. Just like
because now that they got a new property and people want to get on the show, like, hey, look at this guy too, Goliath. He's a member.
Yeah,
and
that's my gripe. Yeah, I'm about to start ranting now. That's my gripe with Avengers.
Hey,
let's make everyone in the Marvel Universe an Avenger. You're an Avenger.
Because it's the greatest.
Oh, wow. It's like Oprah giving out cards, as Tim said.
Let's make everyone Avengers. There's nothing special about being an Avenger anymore, if there was.
Any mutant can be an X-Man. So
yeah.
Shut it up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, if you guys read The Uncanny Avengers, or, of course, the end of A versus X, you kind of know, you know, that now it's a unified team because... You know, part of it is guilt on the part of Captain America. He feels bad for, you know, what's going on with the mutants or whatever. And part of it, though, is, you know, they're trying to send a message that, Cyclops killed Professor X, spoiler alert. But, you know, we could you know, mutants are still good people. No, look, they're Avengers, just like, you know, so they're down with the Avengers. You know, so they kind of want
to
have that.
They're trying to get a rub. They're trying to get the rub.
The rub.
Nah, Avengers just let any old person in. You got powers. You got powers, or you don't have to have powers. You have a suit.
Daredevil. Wow. Hey,
suit up, just like Captain America said in the movie. You got a suit.
Yeah. Guardians Galaxy. If you like the art of Steve McNiven, who's worked on Civil War and many other past series, he's going to be doing Guardians of the Galaxy coming in 2013 February. Nova. Who you might know from either the Ultimate Spider-Man series or just, you know, from the end of A versus X. At number 12, he's prominent in there. He's coming back with his own comic book, but it's not Richard Rider, the old
note. Yes, guys.
Well, at the end of Thanos Imperative, Richard Rider died, so you know he's dead.
What's up with that?
Supposedly Thanos and a couple other people died, but you see them in Avengers Assemble.
True that. True that. Arr. Now they are saying that this new Nova, he's a kid, it's teenagers, and he actually still lives with his parents. So you know the dynamic there is, you know, they're going to explain how he got the helmet, how he became Nova, and of course throughout the book you'll see how he's balancing. Being cosmic superhero with all these huge powers and still, you know, asking his mom for permission to join the Avengers, which, you know, was a funny part of Uncanny Avengers. Now, aside from that, there's actually going to be a, and this was probably the part that I least liked about this. Marvel, of course, they do their crossover promotions with some of the other Disney companies, particularly ESPN, and they had the comic book covers last year for the NBA preview, which was pretty cool. This year they're just doing a one shot comic that's an insert of ESPN the magazine. Actually, it came out today, and it's called LeBron James King of the Rings. Yeah, pretty much.
They're giving it away for free at the booth.
Who did that, by the way?
You got me. It's a combination. Greg Land, Scott Eaton, Mike Deodato, and Terry Dodson.
Greg Land actually did that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course, because all the people in his books look like he sketches photos over actual pictures of celebrities anyway, so I'm sure he just took an image of LeBron and used it.
Yeah, there's images of LeBron, Chris Bosh, the pretty much Miami Heat. There's some images of the Oklahoma City Thunder in there. Pat Riley's in there. Yeah, whatever. I'm like, so you're going to announce this at New York? So you got resoundingly booed, but they gave it out for free along with the Rocket Raccoon pin. So you can tell which one I kept and which one I wiped my ass with. Aside from that, in terms of the Marvel panel, they also talked about some of the other Marvel Now books. Actually, there's two Punisher books coming up. Of course, with Greg Rucka leaving Punisher's title, there's going to be one book called Punisher Nightmare. It's a miniseries by Scott Gimple, who writes on The Walking Dead, and artist Mark Teixeira, no relation to the Teixeira in on the Yankees, but. And I actually called him Tex Sierra back in the day, but this is an old-time Marvel artist. He actually did some of the old Marvel cards from back in the day. He used to work on Wolverine and Ghost Rider and stuff. This is an interesting book because, of course, the Punisher's origin. He became the Punisher because he lost his family to street crime violence.
Mafia
violence, and he's a war veteran. This is about a similar war veteran coming back from, I think it was Afghanistan or Iraq, and he loses his family in a similar fashion. Punisher finds out, Frank Castle finds out about this guy, and it's kind of a race to get at this guy to see, first off, he wants to see how this guy's going to turn out, and if he's going to be a friend to the Punisher or an enemy to the Punisher based on his reaction to all of this. So Punisher doesn't really care to. He's not like going out there saying, hey, it's gonna be okay, it gets better. No, Punisher's like, look, dude, I know you're gonna want to get some vengeance, punish some people. I might have to worry about you or not. So that miniseries is coming out. And then Punisher Warzone. You guys remember those promos of the different characters, Marvel characters in war?
Yes.
And like Iron Man's mask and the Wolverine's claw and all that stuff. Punisher's going to war with the Marvel Universe.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it's not even that. It's the Marvel Universe. All these Avengers are getting together, and they're getting, cleaning up the streets, and they decide it's time to bring Frank Castle in. He's been causing too much trouble. And they find out that the Punisher, it's got a lot harder to bring him in than they thought. You go to war with Frank Castle, you better not miss, as they say.
Or just film a movie.
Yeah, pretty much. So
that'll take him down.
Yeah, so that's going to be a big one coming up, And some of the fan questions. Some fans asked about Ant-Man. Amadeus Cho, is he coming back? One fan asked about Cloak and Dagger, if they should have a series. Steve Wacker, one of the editors at Marvel, said he's fighting the fight every day to bring a Cloak and Dagger series into comics. So a lot of comic book questions and moments after that, but for the most part, a lot of the answers to the questions were, read the book.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go ahead.
I just nominated Michael K. Williams to play either Deathlock or Cloak on a Marvel show or on a Marvel movie. I think he'd be perfect for one or the other.
That's a good casting role. Also notable in the on that Avengers TV show, Bumper Robinson, who used to be on The Game. And you also might know him from Amen, where he played Clarence DeSofa, and he is the voice of Falcon.
Hello, it's Tim Dog again, and I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Comic Book Chronicles, and I want to thank our special guests, Classic Material, Dave Nappy, and Eclectic for joining us tonight. Once again, you can find the Code Slither podcast crew at CodeSlitherPodcast.com. The Eclectic Discussion Podcast, you can find them on find him at eclecticrelaxation.com. Code Slither Podcast and Eclectic Discussion Podcast are both on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Make sure to subscribe to the Click Nation Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Check us out on our website, theclicknation.com. Follow us on Twitter at theclicknation. Like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Find us on Google Plus, search for The Click Nation. And if you ever want to send us some feedback or comments you want to have read on the show, email those on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. So for the entire Click Nation, I am Tim D-O-double-G. And we are signing off.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay-ass accent, them cheap-ass cigars, your yuck-mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Up in a body bag.